Let's look over to Galatians chapter 6. When Pastor Mike was going to Galatians, I thought, uh-oh, he's going to preach my sermon. Galatians chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 7. A very familiar passage. But we're going to pick something out of these verses that maybe we don't think about all the time. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for admonition, Lord, here that we need to seriously consider the choices that we make now and the things that we decide we're going to do, because there are consequences for that. There are either good consequences or bad consequences. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd bless the message today, and as we apply it in the way that we you have led today, we pray that each one of us will hear from your Holy Spirit and be able to apply it, Lord, to our lives and our families, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity now. In Jesus' name, amen. The key verse here actually is verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And really the title of the message today is In Due Season. I want to do something today I haven't done for a while. I haven't really spoken much about family things in a while now. But I'm going to be talking about that quite a bit today. And there'll be maybe some warnings and also some encouragement, I believe, from the message today. I'm 70 years old, and I have lived a while, so I learned a few things. Will you give me that? Okay? All right. Our church is almost 25 years old, maybe 24, 23, I'm not sure exactly, I didn't really figure it out, but close to a quarter of a century now, and in those 25 years, I have definitely learned some things. I have learned some things by looking around at other families and learned some things from my own family and experiences, and I just want to share some things with you today about those 25 years, if I could. Because another 25 years is going to go by if the Lord tarries. And a lot of you young families, you have young children, you need to think about what it's going to be like 25 years from now. You know, right now you just can't hardly picture that, you can't hardly visualize that. But how would you like it to be 25 years from now? Because how you would like it to be 25 years from now will be determined largely by what you do today. You see. And so the message today, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. We'll call that 25 years, okay? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What will happen in 25 years? I want you to get a vision of that, if you could, today. Let me just ask you this question. Will all of your children and your grandchildren, you think, grandchildren? Good grief. My kids are only toddlers, you know. Just think about it. In 25 years, you'll be a grandchild. You'll be a grandparent. Most likely. And so, how would you like it to be Would you like all of your children and all of your grandchildren to be saved and on their way to heaven? Amen? How about a little louder amen to that?
Amen.
All right. Would you like all of your children 25 years from now and all of your grandchildren to be faithful in a New Testament Bible preaching church?
Amen.
Would you like all of your children 25 years from now and your grandchildren to be living moral, decent, godly Christian lives? Amen. There's two sides to this. There's two ways this can go. The decisions you make today and tomorrow and next week and next year are going to make a difference on how your children are, and your grandchildren are going to turn out. You need to think about that. Don't think about the comforts of today so much and what makes you happy today, and what makes life easy for you today, as much as you should think about what your children and your grandchildren are going to be like 25 years from now. Unfortunately, in some cases, I hope not in this church, but in some cases, Christian parents today, 25 years from now, are going to be very sad. Very disappointed. Because they'll have children or grandchildren that are living like dogs. Jumping around from one person to another. Living a life of whoredom and fornication, adultery. Maybe divorce, broken homes, all the ugly, bad things that we see out there in the world can come upon our children and our grandchildren if we don't do certain things today. You don't want your children or your grandchildren 25 years from now to be alcoholics or drug addicts. You don't want them to be living lascivious lives. You know, there is a pattern that I'm seeing today amongst many Christians, so-called Christians, I'll have to say that. It is a life of, oh yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I got saved when I was 10 or 5 or whatever. And I grew up in church, but you know, the rules were, I was talking to one of our doctors the other day, and she'd been in I'm trying to think of the name of the church now, Conservative Baptist Church. And she said, "Oh, it was an awful church." I said, "Oh, what was so awful about it?" She says, "Oh, they had all these rules." And you know exactly where she's going with that. And you know, there are many, many churches. You can find churches in this area that you can go to, and you can live any place, any way you want. You can live like a dog and still go to that church and still be accepted in that church. They'll just accept you as you are. It doesn't matter if you change or not. We love you anyway. Now, that sounds good on the surface. But you know what that is? That's lascivious Christian living is what that is. And the Bible has a great rebuke against that. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if you don't do things right, parents, in 25 years, you may have some children that are living like that, or some grandchildren that are living like that. Yeah, they'll know all the answers because they grew up in church, you see. They'll know about being born again. They'll know about receiving Christ, but they will never have, perhaps will never have really had a new birth experience is the problem. And these guys, they'll know all the lingo. They'll know what to say if you try to, you know, buttonhole them and try and talk to them about their salvation. They'll have the answers. And they'll all be right. Yeah, I'm sure I'm on my way to heaven. Man, I accepted Christ when I was 10. And, well, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But, you know, God's grace is so great. And it really doesn't matter. I mean, I can live any way I want to live because I'm free. What they don't really realize is they're in bondage to sin. They're not free at all. And there are Christians today, I can tell you some Christians today, that 25 years ago they grew up in church in a Christian home, and today they have that kind of an attitude and they're living like the devil. Living like a dog. What's wrong? Well, I want you to hear what I have to say today because this is extremely important. Let me just address all of you today because some of you are thinking, oh, this isn't for me. I'm not a parent or I'm done being a parent or whatever. This is for all of us, and I'll tell you why. It's for parents, obviously. they're in the families in process, we'll call it that. They are also, the message is also for future families. Some of you young people that are teenagers and younger, someday you're probably going to be a parent, and probably someday you're going to be a grandparent. Can you believe that, Melody? Oh, she's shaking her head. No, no, not me. Yeah. And so it's for you. This message is for you. This message is also for those of us who are no longer, we're beyond the age of parenting. And we look back on our lives and we see some, maybe we see some successes and some blessings, but we also see some failures. We see some areas we messed up. And you know why, what's really important for you today, if that's the case, is for you to be a testimony to the young families. Say, yeah, man, listen to what the preacher's saying today. This is extremely important. Amen? So I hope you'll do that. So I want to give you five things that you must do as parents. And you can make a lot of other mistakes, I'll say that. But these five things, if you miss these, you've messed up. And in due season, you're going to reap the wrong, what you don't want to reap. So listen carefully, if you would, to the message today. The first point is, you need to avoid bad influences and embrace good influences in your family. Avoid bad influences and embrace good influences. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." You need to be very careful about who your children associate with. The Bible is very clear on this. They should be walking with wise men and not be a companion of fools. Now, somebody said, well, you know, the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And so that means we should never have our kids together. And we do need to be careful about that, okay, about too much peer stuff. However, there's a lot in the book of Proverbs about what a fool is, more than just a undisciplined child. And you got to read that. You got to find out what the Bible says about what a fool is. In fact, if you study it out, get your concordance out and study it out, you'll find that there are 50 times in the book of Proverbs alone that it refers to a fool or a foolish person. And you need to know what a fool or a foolish person is so that you don't let your children associate with that kind of a person, because they'll lead you down the wrong way. It's a bad influence. You need to make sure that your children are with, as the Bible says, walking with wise men. What does that mean? Well, this time of year, oftentimes on signboards in churches, we see a little caption, "Wise men still seek him." Huh? You want to know what a wise man is? It's somebody that's seeking the Lord. See? Wise men still seek him. Then also in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 7, it says, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." So there again, in Proverbs 13:20, the positive is walking with wise men. The negative is avoid companionship with fools. In Proverbs 28:7, it's walking or keeping the law, in other words, the Word of God. Walking in the Word of God, someone who does that is a wise son. But he that is a companion, there it is again, a companion of riotous men. Partying. You say, we never do that. But make sure that you're not letting your children associate with people that do that. See, that's the point. We have over in Africa, we have this Ebola epidemic going on. And just suppose that your neighbor's children have Ebola. Okay? Mike knows where I'm going with this. You gonna let your children play with them? Not on your life, right? No way. No way. I want to tell you something. Sin is a very contagious disease. And it's especially contagious amongst children. Children catch it easier than adults do. You know that? They're more susceptible to it. Watch out for the influences that you allow to come upon your children. If you don't watch that out, this is basic. I could tell you of a half a dozen families that I know of that their children are off in the world and ungodly people today because the parents would not heed the admonition of the scriptures in regarding to watching out for bad influences for their children. First Corinthians 5:6 says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." What does that mean? Well, you ladies, when you cook, you put a little yeast. That's what the yeast is, leaven. Put a little yeast in the bread, and what does the bread do? Well, that multiplies in the bread and causes it to swell up, right? Okay. And so the principle is that a little bit of that will leaven the whole lump. It'll cause everyone around you. If you've got an evil heart, if you're doing ungodly things, you're going to influence people around you for bad. Well, that's a simple fact of the matter. So watch out who your kids are associating with. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18 says, "Be ye not..." What does the word "not" mean? Huh? Some of you intelligent guys over here. Not. Oh, hey, pretty good. It means not. Yeah. It means don't. It means don't do it. Right? It's not very hard. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There it is. There's the principle, folks. Now, if we can apply that principle in our families and be guardians of our children's influences, it'll go a long way to raising godly children. This is just point one, okay? But if you mess up on this one, you're going to mess up. Okay? What does this include? Well, it not only includes your friends, the friends. You know, you gotta watch out for bad friends. You need to have godly friends. And I think they ought to be in the church. Amen. You know why? Because you don't know what that church down the road's teaching. You don't have any idea. So I think they should be in the church. But even in the church, you still need to watch out. But there's always a few bad apples in the church, too. In this church. Let's see, who's the bad apple here? And what's a bad apple do in a box of apples? A box of good apples? Pretty soon you got a whole box of bad apples, don't you? Yeah. Need to watch out for bad mentors. Like public school teachers, for example. And you need to have good mentors for your children. And the best mentors for your children are the parents, actually. Sometimes, because of a broken family, broken home, one parent is missing. And a lady is raising her children alone. My heart goes out to any lady like that. But I tell you what, they need to find a godly male mentor for the children. Hmm? Yeah. You see, there are lots of wolves out there. We don't understand. You know, the Bible speaks about the devil as like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he's got a lot of little lions walking around too, seeking to devour. You know? And they usually look pretty cool. You know? They look cool, they act cool, they're attractive. Watch out for that kind. Because they're out to devour your kids, okay? By influence. Watch out for that influence thing. Watch out for bad media and replace it with good media. Bad books, bad videos, and so on. Be careful what, you know, that's a huge influence on your kids. You ever watch a little kid watch a video? And I tell you what, you can talk to them, they don't know anything you said. They're glued to it. What's happening is whatever's coming across that TV set and going into their eyes is so binding and so attractive that it is influencing them. Amen? Watch out. What's influencing them? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, let me give you the meaning of a couple words there to really get the gist of what's being said here. Communications, the word simply means companionships. Be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt, and the word good manners, actually, the word means good morals, good principles. So, be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals. There it is. There's a principle right there. The Bible told us, parents, what we need to watch out for in this. Watch out for the wrong influences. The second point, I need to move on here quickly, is to be faithful in church. I didn't used to think this was terribly important, but I believe it is. And the reason I say that, because I have, again, I've been around for enough years, and I've observed, and I should have known all along how important it was, but it is very important. And I can tell you six families right now, I'm not going to, but six families that I know of that have been damaged, children have been damaged or wayward or in some way or another, they're not doing what they ought to be doing because those families were not consistent in church. Six families. I'd like you to look at a verse with me in Psalm 92. I think this says it pretty well. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now we could laugh about the fat and the flourishing part, I guess. This is too serious. I want to get serious here for a minute, okay? What does it mean to be planted? That means that's your stationary position. That's where you're at. That's where you're committed. In the house of God. Okay. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. So, is that your stationary position, parents? Are you committed to being in church? Unless there's somebody sick or you just some reason you just absolutely can't because of health or whatever. But are you committed to the church? Yes or no? Amen?
Amen.
Second word I want you to look at there is flourishing. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. And again, in the last part of verse 14, they shall be flourishing. What does that mean? To flourish means to be growing. Something that is a plant that is not flourishing is not growing. It's dry. It's dying. It's not growing anymore. Okay? So the question is, are you planted in the house of the Lord? Is that your stationary position? And are you growing? Okay. Secondly, in that word, it means green. It means green. Something that is growing has to be green. Okay. It was all... We planted some little cedar trees out here. Jared helped us plant those a while back. Remember that, Joshua? You see any out there now? They didn't do too good. Pretty soon, green on them, kind of turned brown, and pretty soon the needles all fell off, and pretty soon there was just a little stick there, and then pretty soon Eric came along and mowed them. Which didn't make a bit of difference at that point. So, green signifies that you're pliable, that you're teachable, that God can mold you and make you. Amen? Eh? Are you green? You know, today, that's a big popular thing. Everything's green, isn't it? You know, you can sell something if you put green on it. You know, right, Amy? She sells stuff online. You put green on it, or made from, how do you say that? I don't know. Natural, natural, green, whatever. Man, it'll sell. But God wants us to be green in the sense that we are moldable and pliable and growing and in His hand flexible so that He can mold us into what He wants us to be. You see. Also, flourishing means to be fruitful. Fruitful. Are you fruitful? Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? So all these things are part of being, are part of flourishing. That goes on in the verse to say, now this is the part in, that we come back to the title of the message, in due season, okay? What is due season? They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Okay? They shall be fat and flourishing. So, 25, that's 25 years from now is what we're talking about there. See? So many Christians start good and finish bad. That's a sad, horrible thing. So many families start good, and a generation later they're finished bad. That's a sad thing. So, so in old age, what do you need to be doing? You need to still be growing, you need to still be green, and you need to still be fruitful. And that's what we want our children, our grandchildren to be 25 years from now. So, growing, green, and fruitful. Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. It also says that he purchased the church with his own blood in Acts 20:28. The church is very important to God. Very, very important. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says, "Them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You see, when we honor God and we honor what He says is important in our lives, He will honor us. If we want God to honor us 25 years from now, and bless us, and bless our children and our grandchildren 25 years from now, we need to honor Him now, and do what is important to Him. And what's important to Him is that we are planted in the house of the Lord. Amen? That's very important. A third point. You need to guard your children's hearts. Guard your children's hearts. I preached some messages on this, and it's still every bit as important as ever. Guard your children's hearts. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You need to keep your children's hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Why do we need to guard our children's hearts? Because out of it are the issues of life. In other words, what they're going to do in their life is dependent upon what's in their heart. See? And so we need to guard their hearts. We need to keep their hearts. The wolf is out to steal our children's hearts. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying before about the influences. But if they steal our hearts, they'll get the issues of life too, along with it, see? Because that's where the issues of life come from. A good example of this is when Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Remember how he did that? He sat at the gate, and they came, and the people came, and they wanted good judgment, they wanted help, and Absalom was there, and he kissed them, and he, you know, touched them, and he gave them, he talked to them, and helped them with their problems. And in a couple of years' time, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And then, of course, there was a big rebellion then. But in a bad sense, that can happen. Somebody can come and steal the heart of your child. Now, he's a robber, he's a thief, he's a crook, he's an enemy, and you need to look at it that way. Do not let some character who is attractive or cool steal the heart of your child. Parents, watch out for your young lady. Some cool guy wants to steal her heart. I preached in St. Helens one time at Brother Houston's church when he was there. And I preached on this subject about keeping your children's hearts. And the pianist sitting over here, the piano, and I noticed that she, of course, sat down. I noticed that she was weeping toward the end of the service. And after the service was over, I was at the door and people were coming out. She shook my hand and she had tears streaming down her face. And she said, I never knew what happened. Nobody ever told me what happened. I never understood it before. I said, what? She said, my dad was a preacher. I think she had four or five other siblings. He never really had time for us. And we all kind of rebelled and went our own way. She said, I've been living away from the Lord. I was saved when I was young, but I've been living away from the Lord. I married bad 30, 40 years ago. She was an older lady. She said, I never understood what happened. I said, for the first time, I understand what happened. He didn't keep his kids' hearts. Well, what a tragedy. She was back with the Lord. She'd gotten right with the Lord. Her husband's still unsaved. You know, sad situation. But she finally figured out what happened. I hope that 25 years from now, parents, you're not sitting in a rocking chair, maybe with tears streaming down your cheeks, thinking about your child or your grandchild that's gone wayward. Because you didn't keep their hearts. guard their hearts, keep their hearts. I want to tell you something about the heart. The heart will not lie idle. It must be connected some way to someone. Our children's hearts will not just lie idle. If there's a void there, somebody, and usually the wrong somebody, is going to fill that void and is going to steal that young person's heart. Watch out. And when that happens, that young person will no longer listen to what mom and dad says. They will listen to what this other person says. You mark it down. And you cannot do anything about it. There's a sad thing about that. Once their heart is gone, you need to keep their hearts. This is so important. That's the third point. The fourth point. You say, man, I hope you're writing these things down, parents. I'll give them to you at the end of the message here again. But if you miss one of these things, just one of them, you can mess up. You know that? These are so critical. Here's the next thing. You must read the Bible and pray every day. And you must teach your children to do the same thing. Psalm chapter 1. Turn over there with me. Some of you probably have it memorized. How many of you have Psalm 1 memorized? Anybody? Oh, quite a few of you. Good, good. Okay, I'm proud of you. Those of you who have it memorized, you don't even need to look at it. Right? Okay. Here we go. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's point one, right? Okay. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what that tells me? It means continually. It means do it in the morning, do it at night. And if you miss a day, have you done what it says to do here? No, you haven't. A few weeks ago, I asked you, how many of you read your Bible every day this week? And I was pretty disappointed, to be honest with you. I'm afraid to ask again. Shall I ask? How many of you read your Bible every day this last week? It's better. It's better. Okay, I'm encouraged. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And here it is, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree, there's that tree again, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So, there again. If you're planted in the church, that's one thing. But you also need to be planted in the Word of God. Okay? Committed to it. Completely and totally committed to it. As if it's the most important book that you ever pick up. Amen? It should be the most important time of your day. It should be more important than the boob tube. Amen? The average American watches TV, what, 6 hours a day? I don't think that would be the case here. I hope not. But I'll guarantee you, not very many Christians read the Bible 6 hours a day. I'm not suggesting you have to read it 6 hours a day, but you ought to read a chapter, two or three a day. You know? You read about three chapters a day, you can read through the whole Bible in a year. You know that? So, are you planted in the Word of God. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so there you have your two extremes, you see. If you are planted in the Word of God, and your children are planted in the Word of God, it's going to make a huge difference 25 years from now. I'll guarantee you. You want to write something down? In 25 years from now, you can ask me again. I might not be here. But in 25 years from now, I want you to remember what the preacher said. And you read your Bible every day. You prayed every day. And you have a great family 25 years from now. Okay? Amen? Wouldn't that be good? Yeah. A great godly family. So, here's the last point. You say, oh man, got to do all these things. And don't miss this one. So, you need to be real. You need to forsake hypocrisy. Huh? You know what one of the primary reasons why young people leave the faith of their parents is because of hypocritical parents that don't do what they say they believe. Don't live like they say they believe. Huh? I give you some examples of that. I'll give you one example. A preacher, a famous preacher, you all know. Would know who I'm talking about. Some of you will know. I said his name. But he had four children. He preached hard, built a great church, but it wasn't so in his home. It was one way at church, something different at home. He has two daughters from broken marriages. He has one son who is a pervert. I don't know how else to say that. And he has one daughter who's out to destroy all that her father taught. Now, 25 years later, what a sad, sad thing that is. Makes you sick. Why? Because of hypocrisy. You know, do as I say, not as I do, parents say to their kids, you know. That is a crock of baloney, you know that? I got to tell you something. Kids are not going to do as you say, they're going to do as you do. See? We read a minute ago, Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart. The last part of that verse says, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Whoa. That puts a huge load on the parents to say to his child, just do it like me. Huh? How many of us parents would actually want to say that to our kids? Well, the psalmist said that, or the wise man here. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. How are we, you know, are we one thing at church? I've known people that are the most spiritual people you can imagine at church, and they're ungodly, foul-mouthed people at home. I don't think there's anybody here like that. But boy, I tell you what. There are people who claim to be Christians that act like that. And And they're going to pay the price with their kids down the road somewhere. As parents, fathers, we need to be the right kind of leaders in our homes. There are three kinds of leadership, basically. There's what's called, and you can, S.M. Davis has a really good video out on this, good message on this. You got to watch sometime, but he points out that there are three kinds of leadership. One is sympathy leadership. Sympathy leadership, we find that in the example of Saul. Remember Saul? And remember he was sitting under the tree, and his men were around him, and he was chasing after David. And what did he say to his men? None of you feel sorry for me. If you really felt sorry for me, you'd go kill David. Basically what he said. See, that's sympathy leadership. Bad leadership, by the way. Don't go there. Nobody wants to really follow a sympathy leader. Then there's dictatorial leadership. Is iron fist, do it or die. You know? How many like to follow that kind of leadership? Huh? Nobody would volunteer there either. Okay. And then there's biblical leadership, which is leadership by example. Leadership by example. And we see that in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is actually speaking to pastors, but it applies to every area of leadership. And in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So what kind of leadership are pastors supposed to have is to be an example. We're supposed to follow the leadership of the pastor and his example. And boy, I tell you what, that is an awesome thought. Right, Pastor Mike? Right, Pastor Bond? Yeah? Yeah. Boy, that hits you, doesn't it? Well, that's the same thing is true of fathers in the home. We need to set the right kind of example before our kids. And if you don't set the right kind of example, if you want them to, you know, the classic picture of this is a dad with a beer can in his hand telling his kids that they should never drink. Huh? You say, oh, that never happens. Yes, it does. Or a cigarette in their his fingers, telling the kids, don't ever start smoking. It's bad. You know. Or a dad who does marijuana and drugs and the kids, oh, don't ever take drugs. If he's suffering on marijuana. You see, that just doesn't cut it. And there's going to be, not only are the kids not going to listen to the parents' admonitions, and not only are they going to follow the parents' bad examples, but they are even going to go beyond where the parents are. And the parents might be, you know, here's a godly person over here, and the parents are about here, you know, they're not terrible bad, they're still, you know, marriage is still, they're still together and everything, and things aren't too bad, they're still going to church, but they're, you know, pretty miserable Christians, really. But you know what the children are going to do? And the grandchildren? They're going to move over here. And these parents are going to be heartsick someday in 25 years. So, just to conclude the message here today, I'll give you the five things again real quick. Avoid bad influences. Embrace good influences. Be faithful to church. Be planted in the church. Guard your children's hearts with fervency, I would say. Read the Bible and pray every day and teach your Bible. Your children do the same. And then be real and avoid hypocrisy. You say, well, where's discipline in this? Well, obviously we need to discipline our children and do it correctly. And there's a lot to that too. But I've seen children who maybe the parents didn't discipline quite right. And I'm not suggesting that you mess up in your discipline. But you can actually mess up on that and still kids not turn out too bad. But if you mess up on one of these five things, it's gonna be bad. I'm telling you, I'm warning you. I know. I've been around for 25 years. I've seen it happen. Watch out. Amen? All right, let's bow in prayer. Father, we just pray for each family here today. Lord, I know it isn't always easy to do what we ought to do as parents. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we just like a little break. Lord, I pray that you would give the parents strength to not be weary in well-doing. Help them, Lord, to guard the hearts of their children, avoid bad influences, make the Bible a central part of the home, and make the church a very important aspect of their family life. Avoid being hypocritical, Lord, and help them to be real. Lord, I just pray you would take these things and use them in each of these families here today. Lord, I pray that 25 years from now, we will see a great generation of godly people raised up as a result of these biblical principles. Bless the invitation now, we pray. Pray that you would just help us to do business with you and be yielded to your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.